Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Astros Baseball Podcast. I'm here with Ryan and Rob. Unfortunately, we're missing Steppy this afternoon. She's feeling just a little under the weather, and so we want her back as quick as we can because we all love Steppy. Here today, we're going to talk about some Astros recaps, good news from the pitching front, JV's upped his intensity, more good news, Fromber's going to make his first start on Friday, a bit of a twist in the development of one of the minor leaguers with a familiar last name, Will Wagner. Could be our future first baseman, or at least a backup first baseman. He certainly hit. Something was published by CBS Sports today that they show the Astros rotation with a very high rank. Also, we've got a little comment on the World Series odds. Something before we get going is you can follow us on the Apple Podcast app. Also, we're on iHeartRadio, and we have a YouTube channel, also on X. And Rob, why don't you start us off with the first topic?
All right. So let's start with the Astros recaps. So this is just Monday, Tuesday, and today, I guess. Today's game, I want to start with today's game because it's some pretty positive news. Cabbage went 2-for-2 with an RBI. Hensley went 2-for-3 with two RBIs. And this is somebody that I think is on the bubble. Jake Myers. Even Brian McTaggart talked about Jake Myers taking full advantage of this opportunity. One for one with two walks. Dylan Machado, this is somebody. It's a good young prospect. He went 2-for-3 with an RBI. He's hitting .666 in spring training. And Caratini, he has been really good. He really looks like a great signing. 1-for-3. With two strikeouts, and he's hitting .429. The Astros had 11 hits on six, or they had six runs on 11 hits today. Way different than what we're used to the last few days.
Yeah, you know, people have been complaining about, or those who complained about Maldi being gone. When Caratini hits .421, Maldi's last name is going to be who? The yes, it was against not the top staff, but then again. It's spring training. You want to see who's going to do well and see who reacts to the playing time. Lo Profito's hitting well. Myers is hitting .400. It was nice, even though it's a spring training game, to get some crooked numbers up on the board so you get a good feeling on the team.
Yeah, you know, it's been really nice to see some of the names that you were hoping would perform well in spring training perform well. You know, the split squad. The other day, yeah, Altuve, Abreu, Bregman. Yeah, nobody really did a whole lot to write home about. But when you've got Diaz and Myers and Caratini and, you know, some of these other on the bubble guys performing really well, it's really nice to see that happen early in spring training. Hopefully they can maintain that and really get their feet under them well and maintain that. But it's a good sign, I think, for the season to come that some of these guys that we had hoped And that we really need to perform well throughout the season, get a good start early here in the spring. And so I think that's hearing those names, Myers, Caratini, Cabbage, Diaz had a great day. I think it's really good to hear that some of these guys are starting off spring training really well.
What I think is really encouraging too is that the pitchers that we have, we expect to do well, are doing well. You get Eric Geddes thrown his couple of innings. We've got today. Who threw today? But they threw well.
Well, today, I remember talking about this guy, but I don't remember why. I don't know exact. I can't remember, but his name was Tamires. Like, I remember the name.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
Because we talked about it on here. I don't know if he's like 18 years old or there's some reason that we talked about him before. But he threw two scoreless innings, only gave up one hit, and he had a strikeout. And also today, Magic Man, Seth Martinez, an inning and a third, two hits with three strikeouts. So today's a great day to feel better about ourselves, I guess.
Yeah, the only downside I saw is that Ben Souza came in through two-thirds of an innings and had to get bailed out by Martinez. And Souza was one that they're really hoping that was going to fill that left-handed reliever. And so far in the spring, and if I had to pick one pitcher who we would count on to, outside of maybe Dylan Coleman, who we know is a project anyway, who's been not quite what we hoped he would be so far, it's Souza.
Yeah, so you talked about Coleman. He pitched Tuesday when the Astros lost 10-3. Bright spot, Yordan went 1-for-2 with a walk. Jose Abreu, my favorite player, 1-for-1 with he's hitting .337 in the spring. And then another kid that we've been waiting on. I think the last three seasons were like, we're going to see Pedro Leon in center field this year. We're going to see Pedro Leon in center field this year. And I don't know when we're going to get to see it because the outfield is pretty stacked, but he went 1-for-2 and he had a crushing two-run homer. Urquidy, you talked about the pitchers. He looked great today, two scoreless innings, no walks. I think the bright spot about our pitchers when they're doing great, none of them are walking anybody. So that's right. Pretty good. And then Dylan Coleman, this is my last thing. Dylan Coleman, a third of an inning, one hit, three walks, five runs.
You know, you say he got lit up, but it's hard to say he got lit up when he didn't throw any strikes.
It's true.
He only gave up one hit. So
yeah, and not to get ahead of ourselves in the conversation about the strength of the rotation, but it is nice to see some of these names, right, and know that these guys are throwing pretty well. Some of the projects are just that. They're projects. They're quadruple A guys that you kind of just flip a coin as to whether or not you're going to get something out of them that's going to, you know, mass size or not. And Dana Brown's pretty good at that. Click was okay at that. And I think the Astros have actually been really good at just bringing some of these, you know, some of these quadruple A guys up and developing some of them. And maybe some of them didn't stick for a whole season, but throughout the course of the season, they, with their options, you know, these guys have come up and filled holes that we needed over the last couple of years. And so it's been nice to see a few of those really work out well for the club. And so maybe some of these guys, you know, end up working out, and maybe they're not on the roster full time, but maybe they're guys that come through and make an appearance or two throughout the course of the season and really contribute when we need somebody to come in and fill a gap for a week or so.
Yeah. A lot of those guys, they can only stay up for a week or two because then they start getting figured out. Use them when we need them, send them back to Sugar Land when people start to figure them out.
So Monday, our boy Spencer Arrighetti, I really didn't know about Spencer Arrighetti, but Jimmy from Astros Future was just pumping him up every time I talked to him. Spencer Arrighetti. The Astros lose 4-0 on Monday, but Arrighetti, two scoreless innings, only one hit and three strikeouts. He threw 22 of his 32 pitches for strikes. 6 whiffs on 17 swings. He said stats are important, but once you're in the game, it's more about throwing the ball to a good spot in the zone. And I think I did that today.
That's what they love about Arrighetti. He's got good control and he knows the zone well. And I think that it's one of those things that they're probably working a little bit on his velocity, because he's not a super hard thrower. Some of his breaking stuff does not have the motion maybe that they really want it to. But when you've got a good control of the zone and you know where that is and you can pick that up as a pitcher really well, that's promising, more so than somebody who's got a ton of velocity but has no control. I think that's the issue with Coleman, right? Is Coleman's got really good stuff. He doesn't have any control. When you've got a kid that's got good control and can pick the zone and knows where it is and pick his spots and hit his spots, you can work on the velocity. You can work on the breaking stuff and make that better and refine that. I think he's the kind of guy that is easier refined than somebody who's got a lot of good stuff but no control. So I think that's one of the big things that we've got with Arrighetti, and that's why they're so high on the kid.
From what I've seen, I love his makeup. I mean, you see when he's on the mound. You see when he's talking to people in the clubhouse in his interviews, nothing seems to faze him. He's there to do his job, and he's going to be here sooner rather than later. I expect he'll start at Sugar Land to finish everything off.
All right, the next topic. This is good news.
Well, it's a good segue too, right? With Arrighetti's locker being right next to JV's.
JV ups his intensity. The guy threw 50 pitches from the mound today, and that is really good news.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You talk about Arrighetti's locker right next to him. You've got Hunter Brown mimicking JV's windups. So JV's got his kind of own little pitching tree going on. Good news that he's upped his intensity. The better news, it seems that he's recovered okay. I'm not so worried about how many pitches he threw, or if he threw 89, if he threw 93, if he threw 94. I want to know that JV gets out of bed and doesn't need an extra Tylenol.
Yeah. Well, and you know, in his latest little scrum that they threw together, he said his confidence is up. Right, which is what you want to hear from a guy like JV when you had this, you know, minor issue or setback, whatever you want to call it. The fact that he came out and he said, my confidence is high. They're even talking about him potentially being ready by opening day, which, you know, that's good news. And to see that he's also saying that they're increasing his intensity, all of the things point to, you know, good signs, right? And a lot of people were freaked out, were a little scared, were questioning the JV trade, all because of the news of his shoulder. This is good news. This should calm some people's jets a little bit, and you know, really kind of bring us back into reality that JV is a man. He's a professional. The guy knows his body. He's been one of the best over the course of his career, and we should trust the guy. So if he says he's got high confidence and he's willing to increase his intensity and he's doing so, and he's got his rhythm and his rhyme set, this is nothing but good news. And hopefully it means that he'll be ready by opening day. I think that would be great. Like I said before in another episode, even if it means that he's not stretched out fully to throw a seven inning start. And if he's, you know, limited to maybe a 5-inning start, I think it's great. And it'll be awesome to see him go against Gerrit Cole on opening day. So that's my hopes.
And 5-inning starts for a pitcher coming out of the first game of the season is not uncommon anyway. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon to see a pitcher who's not really stretched out, and they're going to want that pitcher, like you said before, Ryan, you want him ready in September. And if mm-hmm. it means he's not quite as long as he is in April, that's just the way it is.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Hey, Wally, you said something before we started recording about MLB, I guess they're in discussions, or what were you saying about they want to go down to 12?
Yeah, I read something today that MLB is going through some discussions of cutting the number of relievers down to 12. The idea would be to more completely emphasize starting pitching.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like something that's a worthy goal in the base case, but that idea has a lot of different tentacles, and it's starting even from the standpoint of kids who are doing, you know, year-round travel ball and using, you know, putting a lot of repetitive stress on their arms at a young age to where they don't really get to stretch out and throw as many long innings as as they would. And also when they're talking about, more directly, when they're talking about reducing the pitch clock to 18 seconds, you know, you're talking about pitchers who are going to get less rest in between pitches, going to cause shorter outings. And if you do try to push them that like that, you've got a better probability of getting arm injuries.
Yeah,
you would think. I mean, it's the day, that's one of the things, Tony. That's one of the things they're talking about with this pitch clock. Is, you know, we talked earlier, is that, you know, it's like 20 is good, 18 seconds must be better. But nobody's really sat back and taken a look at the data and say what is it. I wish they would go with this 20 seconds for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and let's get a good baseline of data, and we know where this thing is running.
Yeah. So right now we have five, you know, I guess you have 5 starters and 8 relief pitchers. So that would go down to 7. So they would expect more from the starters. So I guess JV, the last thing I want to say about JV is, like, he did throw 50 pitches, and the positive thing is from the mound. It wasn't on the flat ground or anything. So that's very good. But what do you think about this? The debut of the slimmer, shorter hair, no hitter last year, Framber Valdez.
Yeah, I think exciting. So I think they're saying that it's going to be a piggyback start with him and Hunter Brown, and then Hunter Brown's going to get Eric Geddy's going to get to go with Javier on Saturday. So I think it'll be exciting Friday, Saturday matchups, right? It'll be a good weekend of baseball to watch. So it's great to see that Framber's ready to go, going to get his start, and Javier as well. But it's exciting to see Framber go. I'd like to see, they said that he's been working on his splitter a lot more now. So it'll be interesting to see if he really starts to break that out during the game, or if that's something that they're going to relegate just to bullpen work right now. So that's exciting to see that he's, you know, we're only a week in and he's going to be up and running.
Looking at Framber, he looks like he's going through Astros boot camp with that short hair. I just hope Framber gets his head in shape. Last year really looked like Framber was so, could get so discombobulated so fast. And he's not the kind of pitcher that once he loses his head, he can pull it back. That's going to be a real challenge for Diaz and Caratini. I wonder if they would pair Framber with Caratini more, since Caratini's a little more of a veteran, might have a little more experience working with a staff of pitchers.
You know, the pitch clock, I'm kind of torn between whether that helps Framber or whether it hurts him, because he's the kind of pitcher that walks around the mound and regroups. But he doesn't have time to do that anymore. No. So one thing, he has to change what he's used to doing. But on the other hand, if he's being rushed, maybe he can get out of his own head. But I don't know. I don't know which one's better for him. I mean, I assume letting him walk around the mound for a while is better. But last year it was really, really crazy. And I don't know if the pitch clock is what happened to him, if that wore him out at the end. But the guy, you know, after 4 months leading baseball in ERA, and then he has like almost a 6 ERA the last 2 months, and was a no-show in the playoffs, I believe. So I don't know. Not a real huge fan of the pitch clock. I think it should be a batter's clock. I think the batter should be ready at a certain time.
Yeah, one thing about that pitch clock too that I think is just dumb as it can be is that the batter has to make eye contact with the pitcher. I mean, you know, batter's in the box within so much time. Let the pitcher pitch. The batter knows who's in the box. He's got to be ready.
Yeah, I don't understand. He has to be ready. He has to be locked and loaded and ready to go with 8 seconds left. But yeah, what does it matter?
He's got to do like a Godzilla stare down with it.
Yeah,
to show he's ready.
It's an automatic ball, strike if he's not ready. Yeah. But what does it matter?
Yeah.
Just let the pitcher I'd like go to the say, ball, right?
Yeah, if you're the next in the box. The next thing Manfred's going to do, he's going to make the batter go like this.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm looking
tip
at
his
you.
Hat. You know, hey, I got
I'm
you.
Ready. Ready to I'm go. Ready. I'm ready.
Batter up. You know, one last thing about Framber that I think might be a benefit. You know, they say baseball players, they can get into their routine too much, right? You hear stories of you know, Roger Clemens used to rub Icy Hot in his crotch, and, you know, guys would double tie their shoes, or they'd throw something, you know, the batting gloves would go in the other pocket, just try to throw themselves off to get them uncomfortable so that they think less. You know, maybe this changeup, and this isn't anything to do with Maldi necessarily, but maybe this changeup and having Caratini and or Diaz be his main catcher, or not give him a main catcher and say, look, depending on the matchups and who we're playing, you're going to get either Caratini or Diaz. So stay uncomfortable, right? Stay uncomfortable so that you're focused more on what you're actually doing on the mound as opposed to everything that's going on around you. Maybe this will be good for Fromber. Maybe it's a shot in the butt, and it's something that he needs to just kind of get him out of his own head. So I'm looking forward to this year. I really hope that it's going to be a year that we see Fromber that we know we can see.
All right, so this next topic, I just saw this today before we got on, and I think he posted it yesterday when they talked about Fromber getting his debut. These are the two things I got at the same time, but Will Wagner, Espada said, Will Wagner, I had to say that twice, is going to get some looks at first base. And if you look at the roster, Will Wagner is a second baseman. If Altuve wasn't on the team, he may have been on the team a couple years ago. And there's no first baseman of the future. There's no third baseman of the future. So it's kind of like
you got a couple of third people that can fill in as third baseman. DeCenzo's going to get a look.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right on the first baseman. You know, Singleton's just holding the place. It's nice to see him get a couple of sack flies today, but he's also 31, and so there's no one on the farm when you look at it and say this guy is pushing Abreu to retire. Is it, Ryan?
Yeah, you know, I don't think they have any faith in Singleton, to be honest with you, of him maintaining a spot in the future in this team. So I think the chess, you know, playing a little bit of chess here and looking at some of these guys, Wagner performed really well last year, especially during spring training. Everybody was like, whoa, you know, maybe Wagner comes up and takes Altuve's spot. There were a lot of people that thought that Wagner was going to make the club because of Altuve's injury during the World Baseball Classic. I like this. I like Will Wagner. I think that he's got some tools that are major league ready. Maybe a little bit of refining here and there for him. And so I think moving him over to first might take away some of the work that he has to do from a defensive standpoint to be, you know, a third baseman or second baseman. Not saying that first base is easy to play. There's just a little less refinement that it takes to play first base. And so I think if they're looking ahead to, you know, Abreu, obviously his time is going to be running out here shortly, and Singleton's definitely not the first baseman of the future for this team. Who's kind of next that we could, you know, refine? Who's the next that we could form into being the first baseman of the future for this team and not have to go out and spend $18, $20 million a year on our next first baseman? Will Wagner makes a ton of sense. So I think this is a smart move on behalf of the Astros for sure.
So what I wanted to say, let me say this, Will. Yep. I mean, Will. Wally. So what I meant is, like, of course we have a third baseman of the future because we have four, you know, farm teams. And there's people that play third base and there's people that play first base. But I'm talking about, like, someone that you're like, oh, man, like this guy's coming up. You know how Will Wagner, you think about him at second baseman. This guy's been blocked. You know, he's been ready, I think, for a while, like Ryan said, but we're not going to see him because he's second baseman and we got Jose Altuve and they just extended him. So
it's been the issues that the Astros have had in their farm system for the last 5 years, right? Because everybody's been blocked. That's why we have so many 26, 27 year old guys in our farm system, because there's been nowhere for them to go. Yeah. And in large part, they haven't been super high prospects that lead to any good trade assets. Right. So it's interesting to see that they're really kind of starting to put their chips into a few of these guys with the future in mind. And so I like the move, like I said, and I think that when you look at Will Wagner and Zenzo and, you know, Pedro Leon and some of these other guys that are starting to get a little bit of attention because of the potential future outlook of the team. And Altuve re-signing and getting his lifelong extension here – surely did not bode well for Will Wagner. So the team, knowing that he's an asset, decided to make a move. And so I think it's smart. I like it.
Yeah, two things about Wagner. He hits everywhere he goes. You know, he was hitting it at double A, comes up to triple A, and he hits close to 400, or I forgot the number, but he really raked when he got to Sugar Land for the few games that he got up there. Secondly, last time the Astros took a so-so fielding third baseman and moved him to first base, kind of worked out pretty well. Not to say that Wagner's going to be Bagwell. But, yeah. there's a history within the organization of taking, you know, a guy who lost the third base job to Caminiti, moving him over to first and being a first baseman for a while.
Yeah. Abreu has two more years, but like I said, I don't think we have a first baseman in the minor leagues that we're excited about, that we're waiting. Like, I can't wait for this guy to come up. And I think it's the same at third base. Maybe DeCenzo will be the man, but I don't think anyone's like sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for DeCenzo to make the roster. But I like this move. I really like it.
I think some people maybe. Yeah. I think some people maybe thought Hensley could fill that role. Yeah. But he's been such a roller coaster ride. The guy, as much as I love him, and as well as he fits into this club from a personality and a culture standpoint, but yeah, I think that
and JJ
on the wall. Yeah,
Hensley, JJ Matuszewski. We're like, all right, these are our
left-handed bat would have been really nice if he would have worked out.
Yeah, I don't think anybody picked up Matuszewski.
Yeah,
I looked and I couldn't find where he is, so he may be out of baseball.
Well, that sucks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so there's a post. Who was this, Wally? That said
Matt Snyder with
number two.
Yeah, Matt Snyder with CBS Sports showed the Astros rotation as second. I forgot who he had number one. I think it was the Braves. And you know, done a pretty fair amount of work looking at just WAR and roster makeup on all the teams. And I was actually very surprised that he put the Astros as five, because you look at who the guys that are the teams that have great staffs. You've got the Braves, you've got the Mariners, and this is just starting rotations. The Braves, the Mariners, the Yankees, the Dodgers, Blue Jays, Phillies. Now Phillies is very top heavy with Wheeler and Nola. Every one of those rotations are as good or better, at least on paper, than the Astros. Now you look at them, you know, the Dodgers have Glass now, and he's never been able to stay healthy. Hopefully for him, he does. Yankees have got Rodon. Rodon's had serious injury issues. So these numbers can change so quickly, especially with pitching. But look at the Astros. I mean, you talk about Verlander. He's 41. We hope he pitches like he's 31. We hope Fromber and Javier, we get good Fromber and good Javier every day. You know, Urquidy has been kind of a good third, fourth starter. At Brown's developing, and who knows what Francis is going to be, if he's even going to be a starter. So, you know, you look at the Astros, and most people would love to have the Astros rotation, but I was really surprised he put us at number two.
Yeah.
I think the video that I saw, or I saw a video clip of them explaining it, and it wasn't just starting rotation. So they were going through the whole pitching rotation. And they said, or if I remember correctly in the clip, and this might just be obvious, is that one of the kickers was the back end of the bullpen, right? Is the Hader, Abreu, and Presley sitting back there, in that there's very few gaps in the whole pitching staff for the Astros. Because you've got guys that are borderline starters, borderline bullpen guys that can middle relieve really well, but as long as you can get through seven innings, you're game over almost, right? So I think when you look at this and you consider the Astros against, say, some of these top five, seven teams, none of those top five or seven teams, maybe other than the Braves, are without question marks, are without either a health question mark, an age question mark, or a potentially have guys coming in halfway through the season question mark, right? So when you take all of those question marks into consideration, I mean, look at the teams that have question marks. It's the Dodgers, it's the Rangers, it's the Yankees. All of these teams have big question marks. Their rotation could be bolstered by guys coming in off the IL halfway through the season. They could end up with somebody like Glasnow blowing out in month two. And then what? It's an interesting season when you look at these top teams and the composition of their pitching staffs. There's interestingly a lot of question marks. It's almost like the league is really trying to hold on to some of these guys that have been around for a while and are still kind of on the borderline of being great and on the borderline of just blowing it out and getting out of baseball. So I don't think that we're so much differentiated from a lot of those guys, other than the fact that the back end of our bullpen is absolutely elite and Nobody has anything that even matches what we've got going on in the bullpen. So I think it's fair. I think if they would have said we were fourth, I would also probably think that's fair. So yeah. I don't mind, somebody saying that, oh, we're not number two, or, we can totally argue the fact that we are number two. So
yeah, it's all opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? It's fine.
Yeah, on March 28th, it doesn't matter anymore, does it?
Sure. No.
Jerry Hunsicker, the old Astros GM, had a great line one time. He said, we're talking about pitching. You can't, there's nothing in any other sport that is more required as pitching is in baseball. And there's nothing more unpredictable, especially bullpen pitching, as baseball.
Yeah.
As pitching.
You know, Ryan, you said something that I find interesting. You seem to have the most confidence in the world in our bullpen. And what's crazy is we lost Hector Neris, Ryan Stanek, and Phil Maton. And you're still confident, and that's great. That shows.
Well, I think it goes back to what I said earlier about the confidence in the development and what our coaching staff is able to do. Right? If JP France is not relegated to a starting position at the beginning of the season, that's a guy that's going to be a great bullpen piece.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hunter Brown, great bullpen piece, decent starter. You've got some of these guys. Sousa, that's a guy who showed up at the end of the season. Unfortunately, wasn't here before September 1st and couldn't make the playoff roster. But that was a guy that contributed towards the end of the season that nobody
without Sousa, we may not. Without Sousa, we may not have won the division.
So there's some of these pieces that are unspoken parts that they don't get the glory, they don't get the write-ups, they don't get considered necessarily in some of these rankings, but they fly under the radar, and it's because of this Astros coaching staff and the work that they're able to do to make sure that some of these guys, again, whether they're the quadruple A guys who come up two or three times over the course of the season, this team is deep when it comes to pitching, and it's in large part because of the confidence that they have in that coaching staff. And I love it, and I don't think that it gets as near enough play as it should.
All right, let's move on to the World Series odds. This came out recently. The Dodgers, number one, plus 320. Atlanta, number two, plus 450. I'm okay with this. The Astros, number three, plus 700. The Yankees, number four, plus 800. Texas Rangers, somebody had them ranked lower than Seattle, but they are...
A lot of people have.
But they are in the top five World Series odds. And then Philadelphia and Baltimore round out tied for six. And we already spoke about this as far as the pitching ratings. It's just odds. The team with the worst odds could end up winning. I doubt it, but you never know. I'm a big fan of Oklahoma, right? And the only time we've ever finished well is when we were rated low in the beginning. If they start us out number one, they choke. So it doesn't really matter where you're rated. I don't know what the World Series odds for the Rangers last year, what it was. That'd be cool to look up. But what do y'all think about this?
Fair. I mean, it, like we said a second ago, this all matters until March 28th. Yeah. Once March 28th starts, once March 28th gets here and we start playing, things will move around. And I'm looking at if I'm looking for something, like Baltimore with those two pitchers going down are going to they're going to have a tough time. I'm really surprised Baltimore hadn't gone out and signed Jordan Montgomery, especially or Snell, because they've got a big hole in the pitching staff and they could drop pretty quick.
Snell's your boy.
What's that?
Snell's your boy.
I wouldn't have Snell.
Not for the money he's demanding.
You know who else is? You know who else turned down? Not that he's in Snell's class, but somebody I read the other day who's doesn't have a team because he's asking too much money is Stanek.
Yeah,
the Cubs came after Stanek, and he's sitting around. Yeah, I guess he's got a pretty good bank account and he can start clipping coupons. But they're but he doesn't have a job right now. And it sounds like he's got the opportunity to have one.
He's going to end up taking a little bit of money because he's going to run out of time. That's what happens with these guys.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, and he's a guy who pitched really well. And then when the pressure was on, didn't pitch really well. And so he's got kind of both of those working for him and against him. And I'm surprised that I'm not surprised. The pitching market has been ridiculous and some of these guys are getting way more money than they really should. We all know it. So he inflated his value. He and his agent apparently and thought that it was a good idea to really put himself out there. I mean, I think he made what, $5 million his last year here in Houston. I didn't see what he was asking for, but if you made $5 million doing what you did here, I'm sure he's looking for that three year. Yeah. He's looking for a Montero deal is what he really probably wants to get. And I understand it because of the market has been what it is, but at the same time, you know, you're a guy that has been a roller coaster ride for your previous team as well. So
it's like, in the mirror, say, dude, you're Ryan Stanek.
Dude, look in the mirror. When we went to the playoffs, they didn't even want you to pitch. And you want big money, like know your role, like the Rock. Yeah.
I'll tell you what we can do. We can say, if he doesn't want it, we'll take a 40% cut off of what he makes and we'll split it between the three of us and we'll have $1 million.
That's probably what'll happen is he'll get a 1 year, $3 or $4 million deal somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. It is creeping up to that time for final thoughts. You know, somebody here has to go to work. I woke up early, folks, 2 hours early to do the show. I got to start getting ready for work. It is final thoughts. Wally, you have any final thoughts? I know Ryan does.
Yeah, I mean, again, we said it the last couple times, the best thing that I'm seeing of our spring training is that we really don't have a lot of big storylines to talk about other than we see some players starting to develop and we see pitchers that are starting to pitchers that are doing well. As far as a competitive standpoint, these two pitchers, Montgomery and Snell are going to land someplace in the next few days. They're saying Snell could land with the Angels. Fine. They're saying Montgomery could land with the Red Sox. His wife is in med school up there. It makes all kinds of sense. We'll finally have some of the major players that have a place to play, and we really will be ready for the season.
That's good stuff. All right. So my final thoughts is our good friends at Brooks Gate, as usual, came up with a very interesting MLB stadium distance to fill in the blank survey or whatever it is that they do. Yeah. And today's was very interesting because today's was MLB teams based on the distance to their nearest marijuana dispensary. and so this one surprised me a little bit because the top three teams were not in states or in cities that I would have ever guessed. So I'll give you guys a couple of guesses here if you want to throw out what you think maybe were in the top three cities for stadiums closest to a marijuana dispensary.
So we learned our lesson by not sharing our Brooksgate post with the other guys so we can have fun with it. My first pick would be Oakland.
Okay.
Yeah, mine would be Denver or San Francisco.
Yeah, Denver. Denver's that's all they have there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Denver. Denver would have been one of my choices, and Denver is actually number four, surprisingly enough, with a 0.18 miles, so not even a quarter of a mile away.
That sounds like some of the other places sell it inside the stadium.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised. Again, I was surprised. Boston is the closest, so Boston is 0.08 miles, so not even a tenth of a mile. It's literally got to be on the doorsteps of Fenway Park.
Who's last? The Astros?
So last place is Kauffman Stadium. So Kansas City, 3.54 miles. The Astros rank number 19 with 0.65 miles. So this
we
is
have dispensaries here.
It's a CBD with THC only type of dispensary, right? So you can't go in there and buy the. I don't think that you can't go in there and buy the actual marijuana. I think you have. It's got to be the oils or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a smoker, so I don't know really that much about it. But the top three.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So the top three, Fenway Park, 0.08 miles. Pittsburgh. So PNC Park is 0.12 miles away from Trulieve, which is a medical-only dispensary. And then number three was Chicago with Sunnyside Cannabis, which is 0.14 miles from Wrigley Field. And then the one that we all thought was probably going to be tops was is Denver, and that's 0.18 miles. So interesting. You said San Francisco earlier. They are number 13 with 0.38 miles from the ballpark. So Brooks Gates with another fun, interesting, how far away from an MLB stadium survey.
Yeah. All right. So my final thought is this, folks. I'm going to give you a peek behind the curtain. So we're getting ready to do a show and we have no material and everybody just starts texting each other. Hey, I heard this. I heard this. I heard this. We put it on the banners and we go. It's not rehearsed. We don't really talk about it. It's just, we put this stuff together fast. So, we hope you enjoy it. We do what I like to call a live show. We don't edit it. We record it, and like 10 minutes later, I upload it, and you hear what you're hearing now. There's no editing. I know there was a new review, so if you have Apple Podcasts, go give us a review. That helps us climb up the charts. It's not only listens. It's reviews have a big part of that. I think the highest
if you have a topic, 13. If you have a topic that you would like for us to discuss, hit us on Twitter. @ Podcast Astros, throw us a topic out there or some questions that you'd like for us to address on the show, and we'll see if we can get those in.
Maybe on our next show, like if we do one Saturday morning, we could make a post that says, give us your topics. And it can be a listener's topic show or something like that.
Mailbag edition.
Oh, yeah, mailbag edition. Give us the mailbag. So if we get enough, we'll do a mailbag. But if we only get one, we'll still do it, even if one of you has anything to say. Wally, what's your final thoughts? Did you have any?
I have a final thought. You started off with.
Okay.
We can do round two if you want.
No, I'm all right. All right, that's it, folks. For Wally,
thanks everybody. Ryan,
we appreciate you tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. Follow us everywhere you can follow us. And we'll see you next time on Astro Baseball.
Go Stro!
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.